This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn while he's out in San Diego visiting his family. You can find me on Twitter at cdunning929. I am joined, as always, when I am hosting by the champion of the 929 League. We call him King George for a reason, not just because he's our champion, but because he is a king. You can find him on Twitter at KingGeorge94, George Ruggiero. George, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. We are making it. We had some breakthroughs in behind-the-scenes things, obviously, with all of this going on.
Yes.
That, very exciting, that we're able to finally get everything rock and rolling like we're supposed to 4 hours before the new year.
We love to see it.
Talk about hitting that deadline right on the mark.
Scale 1 to 10. Scale 1 to 10, how nervous are you about the college football playoff?
I don't think I'm actually all that nervous. One, I've already seen the game before. Like, if it plays out in a similar way, it wouldn't totally shock me. And I think my expectations are so diminished that I kind of look at it like, oh, I'm just playing with house money at this point.
That is true. Being the underdog in a game like this is the best route to go.
Absolutely.
Because like you're playing with house money. You already won a college football playoff game. You've had...
It was a home game. The environment was, like, absolutely insane.
Despite everything that went on, would you still consider this the best football season in Ole Miss's history?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it is certainly equated to the highest level of total success. Like, I understand they have some claimed national championships, but, like, they're from, like, the 60s and prior. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And even at that point, when you've got like four different teams across the country all saying, hey, what about me?
Right.
I'm like, all right, guys, come on. Like,
they're a UCF type of championship.
Oh, yeah. But that was pretty much every championship pre like 95. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You had claimed championships, you had different publications naming different champions. And like, before there was an actual like, championship game, they're all kind of like claimed or given by the AP, I guess.
Right.
Know what I mean? Like,
well, we'll talk more about it with David Cobb at 5 o'clock today. We're
going to
do college football playoff with David Cobb at 5 from CBS Sports. We're also going to discuss Dan Lanning's comments on the college football schedule and why he thinks there needs to be adjustments. I think that these are adjustments that Gabe and I have talked about a few times, but it coming from a sitting head coach of a team that is in the college football playoff, and not only in the college football playoff, that has a chance to win the college football playoff. I think that matters. But we're going to open the show today recapping the Grizzlies' loss to the 76ers last night on national television. It was an unbelievable game. Got a lot to talk about. Ja Morant, is he back? We got to talk about Isolo's rotations and the impact it had on the game. I also think that we need to talk about Cedric Howard's performance and why it is very exciting if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan. Around 4:30, 4:40, we are going to do a New Year's resolution for each local sports team. So for the Memphis Grizzlies, the Memphis Tigers basketball, and Memphis Tigers football, we're going to have resolutions for those teams. And again, at 5 o'clock, we're going to have CBS Sports' David Cobb on a trip around the NFL at 5:30. And then I wouldn't be hosting if I wasn't doing a movie segment. So at 5:45, our small talk segment, we're going to do a top five movies of 2025. Now, there is a very important caveat to this. I have not seen Marty Supreme yet. I have not had a chance to see it.
Didn't come out like last week.
It came out last week.
Like, come on.
Everyone in my life somehow has seen this movie except for me. I just haven't had time. I haven't found the time.
So.
I had to go to town. It is on my calendar. It will probably be seen tomorrow or the next day when I am recovering from New Year's Eve. So, Marty Supreme will not be in my top five, but I want to add, I think it would have been in there. So, a movie may be sneaking in at number five that wouldn't have previously been there, but we'll do that at 5:45. But the first thing that we have to talk about is last night, the Memphis Grizzlies fell to the 76ers, 139-136 on national television. VJ Edgecombe scored 25 points, including a three-pointer with 1.7 seconds left in overtime to give the 76ers the victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. Maxey and Joel Embiid led the 76ers with 34 points each. Ja Morant led Memphis with 40 points, including 18 in the fourth to bring Memphis back into the game. Cedric Howard was fantastic. He had 28 points and 16 rebounds. 16 rebounds from the rookie.
Beast.
Career highs in both for Cedric Howard, and the Grizzlies lost their second in a row. Howard, man, that three-pointer off the hands in overtime. Watching it on TV, it looked money out the hand.
I was
honestly shocked it didn't go in. As soon as he let go of the basketball, it was on trajectory and it was just a little bit short. Just a little short. Grizzlies fell. Santi Aldama and Jaren Jackson Jr. had 15 points each, and Jaren Jackson had 12 rebounds. So he had a good rebounding game.
Nice little double-double.
Struggled shooting the basketball. Wasn't great on that end, but he was grabbing rebounds. They kind of attacked him defensively at a couple of moments late in the fourth quarter, but oh well, oh well. I think the first thing that we have to talk about is that it's Ja's best game this season. Best game since maybe the opener against the Pelicans. He was pretty damn good in that game.
Oh, he was
so
awesome.
So it's probably Ja's best overall game of the season, unless you want to count that Pelicans game. I thought he was tremendous in this one. He was fantastic.
Efficient. Yes. Did it all, really.
Yeah, he had that. Listen, the three-point shot by Edgecombe. Ja, I think, messed up the defense there. The switching with Jalen Wells didn't work, and it led to VJ Edgecombe having a wide-open three that any NBA player is going to hit. So he hit it. Credit to him. It was a lapse on defense from Ja. I'm not going to judge the game or judge Ja's game off of one play. They were also in the game completely. They were leading because of Ja Morant. He was the main reason. You know, we talked about it in the Wizards game. They tried to call 12, and the call was disconnected. In this game, they called 12, and he picked up on the first ring, maybe before the first ring was even over. I thought he was great. And like you said, he was also efficient in this one, 16 for 22. He was 0 for 2 from 3, but he was 16 for 22 from the field. He wasn't just settling for three-point shots. He was getting to his spots in the mid-range. He was getting to the rim. He was getting downhill. He did well from the free-throw line, 8 of 10 from the free-throw line. He did have four turnovers, but the whole team kind of struggled with turnovers. I think that's one of the reasons they lost this game. I know that there have been a lot of conversations about why the Grizzlies lost this game to the 76ers. I think the main one, in my opinion, is the turnovers. George, what was the stat? They had 20 turnovers and 28 assists, something like that?
20 turnovers and 28 assists. Mind you, this isn't a game also in which you get out-rebounded. The Sixers put up a ton of second-chance opportunity, second-chance points. They had 21 second-chance points, did the Sixers. The Sixers also put up 19 extra field goal attempts in the game.
That's tough. That's also very weird when you win the rebounding battle by 10.
Right.
You win the overall rebound. So you won the war, but somehow you lost the most important battle, or was it the other way around? So, yeah, it was just – it was an exciting game to watch from the start of it. And – there were ups and downs for the Grizzlies, but that run that they made in the fourth quarter, mostly because of Ja Morant and Cedric Howard, was why the game was so exciting. And you had a lot of national people tuning in. And the biggest takeaway for me was the funeral of Ja Morant, the death of Ja Morant, was vastly overstated by many. I think most people here in Memphis that have been actually watching these games and paying attention to Ja, we expected this. Yesterday when we talked about Ja, we gave him that grade. We said, we know that the older version of Ja Morant is in there. We've seen flashes of it, but we're waiting for him to put together a full game. And I think that last night was an example of his ability to still put together a full game. He was electric last night. He had a couple highlight plays, but most importantly, he was just getting downhill. He was getting to the rim. He wasn't taking any bad shots. He was giving effort defensively. Maybe he could have had a few more assists, but he was doing his thing offensively, so I'm not going to blame him too much there. And then when you look at Cedric Howard, also very efficient, 28 points, 10 of 16 from the field, hit two threes. He was 2 of 4 from 3, which is important. But the biggest thing, 16 rebounds. He was all over the place on the boards. He was aggressive on there. He was crashing it. He was grabbing rebounds from Joel Embiid. He was dunking on Joel Embiid off of rebounds. It was incredible to watch him play. I think that VJ Edgecombe and Cedric Howard both did not look like rookies.
Rookies locked in for this
they
game.
They absolutely locked in. And I think that's why the game was so exciting, because your star players showed up. Ja Morant showed up. Joel Embiid showed up. Tyrese Maxey showed up. But then you had glimpse into the future of the NBA with VJ and Cedric Howard going back and forth. And it felt like moments in the game, they were going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very exciting to see. I cannot wait to see what Cedric Howard becomes as he develops in the NBA. His skill set is so, so valuable to a team like the Memphis Grizzlies. And you heard Parker Fleming talk about him yesterday when I had him on the show. I think what we want to see on the defensive end is a little bit more disruption, you know, him using that 7-2 wingspan a little bit more.
Right.
But right now he's in the right spots. He's doing the right things. And that's all I can ask right now defensively from a rookie. Offensively, though, he is able to create his own shot, which I think is very rare for a young player in this league. His pull-up off the dribble in the mid-range is something special. And listen, I know a lot of people have made a very certain comparison to the potential greatest player of all time. I think most people's greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan. I'm not saying Cedric Howard's Michael Jordan.
That's not even the one I thought of.
Oh, you're thinking Kawhi.
And even the Kawhi one, I'm still like, dude, that bar is stupid high.
Well, a few weeks ago, Kawhi got brought up by Gabe when we were talking about Cedric Howard.
Did people forget how good Kawhi was with the Spurs?
Yeah, Kawhi was unreal. Kawhi's rookie season was a bit quiet. Like, he wasn't unreal in his rookie season. He was just really damn good, very much like Cedric Howard. In his second year, he was amazing in the NBA.
Right.
Like, he was very good in the NBA Finals against LeBron. So I do think that, and that's why I said I don't think the bar of success for Cedric Howard should be either Michael Jordan or Kawhi Leonard. But the reason I bring them up in this moment is when he is taking people off the dribble and he just stops in the mid-range and hits that little, like, that little fadeaway.
Yeah, that little, like, mini, that little bunny.
The two guys that come to mind are MJ and Kawhi, because I said it a long time ago. In that run that Kawhi had with the Raptors in 2019, I tweeted it out, and I still think it is correct. That's the closest we've ever gotten to Michael Jordan again. I understand
Kobe, in that run?
But Kawhi and what he looked like in that 2019 run
and
with the Raptors.
On both ends of the court.
The way he was scoring, the way he was playing defense, that's the closest to Michael Jordan, I think, that we have seen.
We've seen since then.
Kobe was absolutely close, but it was different. He was trying to replicate Jordan. All of his moves were the exact same. But the way Kawhi was playing and just taking over those games was very Jordan-esque.
Yeah.
There's just been a few flashes of, you see like that type of motion from Cedric Howard. And I mean, you can't watch that little fadeaway jumper in the mid-range and not think of either Kawhi, Jordan, or Kobe. It looks like that jump shot. Does that mean he's going to become these players? Probably not. But because that's not the bar of success for a young player in the NBA.
Right.
But it's still exciting when you're watching this game and you can even have the thought pop into your head for a moment and it not be absolutely ridiculous. He's just, the way he's able to create for himself and others already at this age is why I'm so excited about him moving forward, especially when you pair him with a young wing in Jalen Wells, who is able to defend. He is able to knock down a three, but he's not the best playmaker. He's pretty good at creating his own shot. His little step through hesitation that he has been driving people absolutely insane this year. There's been a lot of clips on Twitter recently about whether or not it's a travel.
If they don't blow
the whistle, it's not a travel. That's all I'm going to say.
Did you see, Jalen's response?
Yeah, he was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Wasn't like, I don't know, looks clean to me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if they don't blow the whistle, it's not a travel.
So
speaking
funny.
Of whistle, yikes.
Yeah.
Bad whistle last night. Just straight up jaw a couple times, was driving to the paint.
Right.
And got taken out by the 76ers, and there was no call. There was, I think, Eagle on the call even said he got mauled at the rim, and there's no call, and it led to a VJ Edgecombe layup for the 76ers on the other end when the game was very close in the fourth quarter. So there were a couple big missed calls last night that I do think helped out the 76ers. I'm sure, though, the lens of 76ers fans watching it saw calls that they probably should have gotten that didn't go their way. So it's not one of those things. I'm not saying the whistle's why they lost the game. It was just noticeable. I think it was not the most consistent whistle last night. Ja still doesn't get the benefit of the doubt when he's going to the rim a ton. You wish that you'd be able to see it. Now, I do think we have to talk about the rotations because it was, I think, the main talking point from last night's game for many.
Right.
And George and I discussed it briefly when I got to the studio today. I think the rotations were a reason the Grizzlies ultimately lost the game, not the reason. And I understand people's frustration with them throughout the game because you have Ja Morant on what is a minutes restriction. You have Cedric Howard on a minutes restriction right now. And we'll get to Isolo's comments on that after we discuss it because I'm going to be honest, one of his comments I thought was not great.
Was it the... 1 of 82?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's not 1 of 82 now. It's at least now 4 of 82 that this has happened, but we'll get there in a moment. So, everyone's biggest problem, two things. One, you have Joel Embiid outpacing Ja Morant and Cedric Howard throughout the game. And I understand people's frustration with that. Joel Embiid is a game-time decision every single game. That is basically... That's his career now. Well, that's not an exaggeration. That's actually what he is. Like,
yes,
he is a game-time decision every single game right now for the 76ers. He had only played 13 games heading into last night. He has now played 14. He was fantastic last night. Yeah, I got to give him credit. He looked like the old version of Joel Embiid. He was hitting those jumpers at the free throw line at will. There were a couple moments where he attacked Jaren Jackson Jr. and was just able to overpower him. He looked great last night.
Yeah.
He was really effective for them. And he was outpacing Ja Morant and Cedric Howard in minutes. Now, I think that Isolo was trying to allow Ja and Howard to be on the floor for a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter. And they were on the court for a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter.
80% of the quarter.
It's that 20%.
Oh, yeah.
That has people talking. And when you're watching the game last night, the Grizzlies make this big run. They take the lead. It's so exciting. You have a fast break Howard dunk that was absolutely electric. Ja Morant's taken over. Like I said, he had 18 points in the fourth quarter. He looked like the 2022 version of Ja. And then both of them get pulled. And when they get pulled, the 76ers get back into the game, and all of a sudden it's a battle. They go back in. They're having to fight for it and ultimately are able to force overtime. A lot of people have said, well, if you don't take Ja and set out for those 2 minutes, you probably win the game in regulation. I'm not sure I disagree with that. I do think that if you leave those two guys in when your team is rolling, you probably are able to win that game in regulation at being at home. Now, those two guys also played the entire overtime and you weren't able to win the game. His rotations last night frustrated me, but at the same time, he did let them play a lot, and he wasn't pulling them throughout the game when they would get rolling.
Right.
There were some questionable decisions from Isolo last night, but again, I do think it was a mistake to take them out for that 2 minutes. I don't think that's why they lost the game, though. I think that they didn't win the game because they weren't able to execute offensively at the end of regulation and in overtime. I think that they had a couple turnovers. I think, to be quite honest, Jaren missed a couple bunnies that he would usually hit. I think that Cedric Howard panicked for a moment when he got a rebound off of a shot and tried to pass it out to Santi instead of going back up with it when he had a really close shot.
Yeah.
I just don't think that they executed well down the stretch. Now, if you want to tell me, well, that's coaching too, I'll listen to that. I'll say,
sure.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Like, yeah.
Not being able to execute, that's coaching too. Not having Cam Spencer on the floor when you need a three-point shot, even as a decoy, that's not the best decision. It's just this conversation about the rotations with Isolo. I think it's a reason that they may have lost. I just don't think it's the reason. I think that the play of the players when they were out there and the turnovers is mostly why they lost that game. They gave the 76ers, like you said, so many extra opportunities. When you give an NBA team that many extra opportunities,
literally,
they're going to punish you.
Literally 19 extra field goal attempts.
Yeah. And you know how many turnovers the 76ers had as a team?
Was it eight?
Eight. You're not that.
They just took care of the ball.
It's very hard to beat NBA teams when you give them many extra possessions.
That's just off turnovers alone. That's 12 extra possessions.
So when you look at the actual minutes played last night, Ja ended up having 34. Cedric Howard ended up having 37. And I think I see it both ways. I personally would have just left those guys in,
right?
Because he even said that they decided to stretch the minutes restriction when they knew that they were going into overtime because they were trying to win this game.
Yeah.
Well, okay, if it goes into overtime, stretch those minutes, why not just do that for two extra minutes anyway?
Sure.
Because that two extra minutes did matter.
Oh,
it,
absolutely.
It absolutely mattered. And guess what? They didn't get hurt in overtime playing extra minutes. I think where my main issue comes in with Tomas Isolo in this game is when he was discussing post-game his decision, and this is what he had to say. He was talking to, I think, Michael Cole was asking the questions. I think he did a really good job last night.
We love you, D-Mike.
It's one game out of 82. Must maintain perspective always. It's very hard in that situation because even I have emotions. You try to make the best in those situations. You try to balance what's best in the short term and what's best in the long term. My issue with that is it's not just 1 in 82 games that we've seen this minutes restriction impact wins and losses. It's now at minimum 4 games for me. That Spurs game we've talked about, the Jazz game we've talked about, the Wizards game we've talked about, and now the 76ers game at home. If you're playing these guys 34 minutes, if you're playing these guys 37 minutes, I just really don't think 2 extra minutes is going to change their fortune. But what I do think it can do is it can pick you up a win. That's very important. Against a good 76ers team. They've been dealing with injury this year. That's why the record is what it is. But they were healthy last night.
Man, they're talented too.
And they're so talented.
Like,
Tyrese Maxey is unreal.
And when
Joel Embiid turns back the clock and looks like an MVP version of Joel Embiid, he's one of the best players in the league. He's only played 14 games this year, and he's only had a couple flashes of it, and unfortunately one of them was in Memphis last night.
Look at some of the dudes they're pulling off the bench, too.
I think what's frustrating is when you're watching Joel Embiid play the minutes he played, and you're seeing Ja and Sed get pulled out, it's like, come on, man, this is a game that you need to win. You need to win this one. You just dropped a really tough game against the Wizards, and you have an opportunity to pick up a very good win right now. You can steal one back here, and you let it slip through your fingers because of what? A minutes restriction? And what's interesting about this is I don't know if it's coming from Isolo. I don't know if it's coming from Kleiman. I don't know who it's coming from. But it feels too short-sighted to me. Isolo's talking about a short-term perspective and a long-term perspective. Well, my long-term perspective is these 4 losses now are going to bite you in the ass at the end of the season. I know that because we saw it happen last year.
It's true.
I know it's going to get you at one point. And I just don't think that the short-term trade-off of, well, this, what if they got hurt in those 2 minutes? Well, what if? I'm not here to play what if.
Right.
I'm here to try to win basketball games with my best players. When you look across the NBA, the best teams play their best guys big minutes. They do. They play their best guys big minutes. And the Grizzlies don't do that. And the Grizzlies have been one of the most injured teams in the NBA, if not the most injured team in the NBA over the last 3 seasons. So where's the benefit? I think that's what's getting lost on me, is what's the benefit of holding these guys back? What's the benefit of doing these minutes restrictions? when it hasn't worked. Even a guy like Ja, he was on a minutes restriction previously, and guess what? He got hurt again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I fundamentally agree with minutes restrictions preventing injury or helping guys back. I think that I fall closer to the start and stop and not being able to get in rhythm and not being able to get your body fully warm and not being able to get your body back into NBA shape. That's, I think, leading to more injury, in my opinion. I would rather these guys be held out longer than come back on a minutes restriction because it disrupts the team.
Right.
It disrupts the team when you have really good minutes of Ja Morant and then you pull him off the court. And unfortunately, you have guys in there that weren't able to execute last night. Like, it wasn't the best Cam Spencer game last night.
Sure.
And it's just...
And, like, for what it's worth, too, in context, like, with this game specifically, a lot of the other games that we've talked about with these guys either getting pulled out early or not playing their full complement of minutes, I think kind of fit into their own context. This one feels a little bit different because it isn't as though... they didn't play.
Right.
Right. Like, we're talking about them getting pulled out for 2 minutes after playing the first 6 minutes of the quarter.
Right.
And overall playing 10 minutes out of a 12-minute quarter. It's not like they didn't play in the quarter at all. If your team right now is getting sunk really by 2 minutes of time without two players on the court, there might be some other fundamental issues that you have to kind of reckon with. Like, and I feel like
absolutely.
That's not... A lot of people in this conversation, because like we all saw it on socials last night, how much of the conversation was directed on those 122 seconds or whatever it was of game time without Cedric Howard and without Ja Morant? If those other guys on your team aren't good enough right now to sustain you for those 2 minutes, I think that's a different that isn't necessarily an issue of, man, just play your guys versus don't use your bench at all. Like, those guys shouldn't get so badly caved in by another team to where you look back and say, man, those 2 minutes really killed you. Like, it isn't as though that they didn't get an extended run to start the quarter.
Yes. I think, though... Another conversation I've had about the minutes restriction and Isolo is when he's using these minutes.
Right.
If you have
I've noticed a
if you
slight
have to
trend.
Stack it to where they can be available more in the fourth quarter and just play the whole fourth quarter, do it.
Right.
If you're going to have a minutes restriction, at least give them the most minutes at the end of the game when they can have the most impact on winning.
Right.
And like last night, when you look at the 76ers minutes, you get Paul George played 39, Maxey played 43, Edgecombe played 41, Embiid played 38, Jaren played 37, Coward played 37, Morant played 34, Santi played 36, and Wells played 32. It's a big difference. I know that it's overtime, and when you look at the Grizzlies' minutes, you say, oh, they played. But then when you look at the 76ers, you're like, well, they played their best guys more. And
yeah.
Guess who won the game?
The team that played their best guys more. That half of the conversation on the rotation, I certainly have a lot more time for. Like, purely talking about it from, like, that basketball point of view, yes, your best players need to play more. 100%. Just because you have solid bench guys doesn't mean they should be playing the same amount of minutes as your starters.
Right.
By no means. Is that the case, or is that what I'm saying? And I understand relative in the context of, well, like, would this have looked a lot different if more of the Grizzlies were healthy? Sure. You could say that for just about every single game this entire season, barring the first 6 minutes of the Cleveland Cavaliers game when you finally had Ja Edey. But we got that for 6 minutes. What about every single other minute of the season? We haven't had one or the other. So, like, to me, those are different conversations about the way that they need to run the team. Like, in this one, I get it, and I understand that, like, we need to say, hey, play your best guys more. Like, those 2 minutes they probably should have been playing.
They should have
been playing.
They should have been playing.
I have seen this as a trend, though, and this is, and like I've noticed this not just with those two guys, but with the way that he's been rotating guys in and out more. He is tending to stagger one front court, one back court.
Yeah.
One front court, one back court usually will end up playing the first like 4 minutes and then getting pulled, rotated out, leaving the rest of the starters in, usually until that 6 to 8 minute mark. Obviously, like stoppages matter, like timing of stoppages. You can't just, hey, ref, I want to sub whenever. Like, that's just not a thing. And then those two guys that subbed out will usually stay in, and then it'll rotate back out. And then the first group of guys will typically come back in with 3 to 4 minutes left in the quarter, if not a little bit less. And then they'll play into the start of the next quarter. So he's gotten a lot better about like picking and choosing like which guys are playing longer, which guys are playing these longer stints. He's letting guys get more into that rhythm. And he's kind of looking at other guys and saying, well, where can I use this as a matchup advantage? Stuff like that. So like this isn't a full defense of like the system and what Isolo is doing, because there's also the point of it, like you're making, got to have a little bit of feel. You got to have some feel to it.
Yeah.
It can't just be, you've played 6 minutes, time to get out.
Right. I think that's the main issue people have.
Right.
Is the rotation, if he had more feel to it, if it felt more in the flow of the game and right. game to game, I think there'd be less conversation about it. But it feels so systematic right now. And right. then when you get quotes from him saying, well, it's 1 of 82, it's like, it's not really. It's cost you a couple games now. And then you yeah. get quotes that say, both guys went heavily over the recommendations today because we felt like this was an important game for us. There's always a voice inside my head wondering if this is the right call to make, and you have to make that call. We felt like both players benefited from that short break. I think that Josh certainly did.
Yeah. Oh, but for what it's worth, by that 6 minute mark, like
he was,
he
was gassed.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say, we as a team, I'm not sure, benefited from that at that moment. But it also led to two guys relatively fresh going into the last few minutes. Yeah. So it's, I think what's frustrating about some of these comments is like, he's kind of saying both things too. He's saying, well, they were on a minutes restriction and we played them too much, we needed to rest them. But at the same time, Those 2 minutes hurt us as a team. And it's like, yeah, man, that's the whole point. Like, that's what everybody watching this game is saying.
Yeah.
And I know, to your point, they are a really injured team right now. And they were in a game. They had a chance to win. You had Ja, you had Jaren, you had Cedric Howard cooking. He was feeling it. When you are down, your best NBA bodies, shouldn't you be playing your best available NBA bodies the most possible minutes in a winnable basketball game?
Absolutely. I am 100% agreeing with that.
Like last night,
by no means,
the 76ers basically ran a seven-man rotation.
Yeah.
Like Jared McCain played 13 minutes and was not great in those 13 minutes, but they basically played a seven-man rotation with Quentin Grimes essentially becoming a starter for them because Dominic Barlow
probably
wasn't very good. Like he was getting just destroyed defensively. So they took he only played 24 minutes.
Hate to be like this, but I don't know. Nick Nurse is not one of my favorite coaches if you have ever talked to me about them.
Why?
He's a complainer.
Oh.
Yeah.
About the refs?
In general.
Oh, in general.
In general, but mainly about the refs.
Sure. He helped Mark get a ring, so he's cool with me.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, fair point. But, like, to me, Quentin Grimes should be a starter on that team. Quentin Grimes has been awesome for them since they made that trade. Dominic Barlow?
Yeah, that didn't make
sense. Who?
Well, okay, speaking of starters, why are we starting Koloko?
I have
what?
No idea.
Okay, listen.
But
listen, hold on.
I'm listening.
He's been
fine.
He's been good.
He's not been that bad.
And this little stint with the Grizzlies. You know what game I'm not going to start a guy who's on an injury waiver and the reason he's on your team? You know what game I'm not going to start him in?
The one where he has to face up Joel Embiid.
Where he's going up against a former MVP and Joel Embiid. That's the game I'm probably not going to start. You know what game I'm going to experiment starting Koloko in?
The Wizards game.
You know what game I'm not going to do that? Against a former MVP who's going to eat his lunch. And guess what he did? He ate his lunch.
You know what? Actually,
the 2 minutes in the fourth quarter is a reason they lost the game.
Yes.
There are other reasons they lost the game. One of which was deciding to start Koloko against Joel Embiid. I don't know, man. It's
to be fair, the prior starting lineups got a weird feeling. Just a hunch. Don't know what it is. I don't know if a front court of Santi Aldama and Jaren Jackson is going to do a heck of a lot better.
I mean, Jaren wasn't great offensively last night. But again, and I didn't want to wade into these waters too much, but like Ja had a great game. Jaren didn't have a great game. We're still kind of waiting on these two to gel.
Really click
at the same time. But Jaren was doing his work defensively. He was good defensively.
Really good on the defensive glass.
He got attacked a couple times late in the fourth quarter where they drove directly at him. That jab step that Embiid hit him with was just
filthy.
Filthy. I mean, again, former MVP.
Yeah.
And then Paul George just...
Well, a lot of that, too, is either trying to bait him into the fouls or
no, that was my point. Is Jaren, I think, was trying to defend without fouling, and he was still defending well.
Right.
So I think
there's also the
Jaren just wasn't super aggressive offensively, but at the same time, when you have Ja Morant going for 40 and like, going downhill and being really efficient, when you have Cedric Howard going for 28 on a lot of efficiency,
right.
There's not a ton of room for Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think
that's true.
When it's one of those where are you box score watching or are you watching the game? Because if you're box score watching, you say, well, Jaren wasn't good last night. If you're watching the game, you say, I don't know, Jaren had a big impact defensively. He had 12 rebounds against Joel Embiid and a big 76ers team.
Right.
He just didn't get a ton of scoring opportunities. And to be quite honest, in the opportunities that he did get, most notably later in the game, he just missed them. Like that,
yeah.
He had a shot where that 10 out you almost would bet your life on Jaren hitting one of those runners.
It's that little runner, that little lefty floater that he likes.
You would almost bet your life on it, and he missed it. And it would have been the probable difference in the game if he had made it, but he didn't.
And I will say this, too. A lot of those opportunities where he is getting, quote, singled out or dropped into, like, that ISO coverage where it is that one-on-one, a lot of the times the only reason that's happening is because someone else on the team is actually doing their job on the perimeter and they're not over-rotating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those weird cases where you're like, okay, good job on defense out there. You're leaving our best guy in pure isolation against either a gigantic human in Joel Embiid or like Maxey and Edgecombe who are just elite athletes.
Yeah. So ultimately, it was one of the best games of the season that you just didn't win. But it was electric to watch from start to finish. I think that Ja was incredible. Really hope that he can build off of that performance. Coward was fantastic. I think that Jaren was better than his box score gives him credit for.
100%.
But you lost the game because of turnovers, questionable rotation minutes, and then not being able to execute in overtime like you wanted to offensively. And to be honest, their final play in regulation.
The Santi shot.
You could have gotten, I think, a better look there. Because it came off of just chaos.
Right.
And then certainly I think that you could have executed better. I know that you ended up getting a pretty good shot with Coward, but I don't know. I just feel like that there were a couple coaching moments that I wish were better. But ultimately I think that
I don't think that was the end-all be-all of the game.
There was a lot of positive in last night's game for the Grizzlies. It's just Ja looking like his old self matters. And he was engaged. He was talking a little bit of mess. Also, I've seen some people be like, those few seconds that he took on that breakaway when he was by himself, he was trying to run out the clock. Those few seconds would have helped. All right. Okay.
Whatever.
that's some hindsight 2020 stuff. And
yes,
I'm like, I'm not sure
100%.
We need to do that.
I do have one, and this is an NBA-wide like take from this game that I think is awesome. Between this year, like this year's rookie class, and next year's rookie class, brother, we are in line for some hoopers because we were all worried about Cooper Flagg at the beginning of this season. You seen what that man is doing?
I was not worried about Cooper Flagg.
You know, there were some that were like, hey, he's starting kind of slow.
Well, he did the same thing at Duke. Maybe we'll give the, what is it, 19? We'll give the 19-year-old
the 19-year-old who's 6'9 and 250 pounds and has does the, literally
and,
everything.
And has to take the crown that Luka had and place it upon his head. Maybe
give
we
him
give
a minute.
Him
He'll get cooking.
10 games to figure it out.
Both those young dudes out there in Charlotte are absolutely hooping.
Yeah.
VJ Edgecombe's awesome. Set is awesome. Even some of the guys that you're like, oh, they were... Those two dudes down in New Orleans.
Derek Queen, Jeremiah Fears.
Yeah. What did I tell y'all about Jeremiah Fears, by the way? When I saw him in that preseason game? Yeah. He's with it. Like
he's good.
These two classes.
Great jersey, too. Zero Fears. Oh! Incredible. Frat houses across America are littered with them, I bet. Just littered with them.
Tulane.
Yeah.
Pick them up. Go get those jerseys. Like, between this class and next year's class, we're in line for some great NBA players.
Yeah. So last night's game... Disappointing loss. Unfortunately, some trends of the season appeared, but that Ja game, I think matters. I think matters. That said game absolutely matters. When we come back, it is New Year's Eve. We are going to do resolutions for our major sports teams here in Memphis. I have one. George has one for each of our three major teams. Stick around. You're listening to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning hosting for Gabe while he is out. It is New Year's Eve, which means George and I have New Year's resolutions for each of our major teams here in the city of Memphis. We're going to do the Memphis Grizzlies, Memphis basketball, and Memphis football.
Should we give an update on what the Tigers are up to right now?
Yeah, we'll give an update on what the Tigers are doing right now. They are kind of playing a basketball game. So right now...
That first half was brutal.
With 9:34 to go in the second half, Memphis is up 47-34. They're playing pretty well. It's just the two teams cannot play basketball without turning it over. So in a turnover battle, Memphis right now is losing at 17-16. But overall, they're actually shooting pretty well from the floor. They're shooting 50% from the floor right now. Do have a new starting lineup again. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. To be honest, though, I don't hate the starting lineup today. I think that the starting lineup today isn't too terribly bad. It is interesting given his minutes distribution so far, but overall, I've been pretty okay with how they've been playing. It's just been an ugly, ugly basketball game from three and with the turnovers. It has barely looked like a basketball game.
Double-digit lead right now is a double-digit lead.
A double-digit lead.
They are in the winning business.
A double-digit lead. Is, yes.
It is conference time. It is winning time. It's all they got to do.
Yeah, just win the game. Just
whether it's by one or by a lot, I don't care.
Start stringing together wins because you have to, especially in conference. You can't afford to lose these games anymore, especially when you're at home. There's just no excuse for it. You're a better team than North Texas. Close it out, Memphis. Please close it out. But we have New Year's resolutions for our teams. Let's switch it up. We've been talking a lot of Grizzlies. Let's start with a team that we haven't really talked about in a while. It is Memphis football.
Okay.
Memphis football. Let's start with Memphis football. My New Year's resolution for Memphis football is simple. And by the way, remember, resolutions are goals. They are not, I think, bars of success. Sometimes you meet your resolution, sometimes you don't. I don't think that necessarily my resolution means this has to happen for it to be a successful season from the University of Memphis in terms of football. It's just a goal that I think that Charles Huff, in his first year, should absolutely have. And if he does achieve it, I think will be a home run season for Memphis. So it's something to aspire to.
Okay.
My resolution for Memphis football is to make it to the American Championship game. Just make it to the game. Now, it is very true that we don't know what his team looks like right now. We're still seeing how he fills out the rest of his coaching staff. But I think that just make it to this game, and we'll throw a parade here in the city of Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan just never did it, and it's kind of nuts to talk about. He had successful seasons. He won 10 games in back-to-back years, but he never made it to that championship game, and it was
so
always
crazy,
the
man.
Giant hole in his resume. If Charles Huff can come in, get talent, which he should because he has a lot of resources, and make it to the championship game in what is seemingly going to be a bit of an open year in the American because you have so much change happening with the teams
right.
at the top. And then, you know, just the transfer QBs, which I think is maybe where your resolution is going to go. You have opportunity here to really take hold of this conference next year. So that's my resolution for Memphis football.
My main resolution is to create some stability. Continue to create the stability because, like you just said, this season is a season of flux for the conference as a whole.
Right.
We have how many teams that were in the top five of the conference with new coaches? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's four of them.
Yes.
The only one who retained their coach being Navy, which is a service academy. When do they ever change coaches? Like, it usually takes decades and decades for them to actually change coaches. The entire conference is in flux. You have proven to be a strong program from coach to coach. Let's continue that trend. It is an important trend to have, especially going forward, because the big thing that's still lurking, the big thing that is still looming, is conference realignment.
Yeah.
In the next couple of seasons. If you're able to continue the high level of success, and yes, that does include bringing in a quarterback, because right now, as a football team, you have a grand total of zero. Zero quarterbacks on the roster right now. I understand there's a whole lot of, you know, zeros across the board in a lot of positions, but quarterback is the most important position on the field.
It's also been such a position of stability for Memphis.
Bingo.
Over the last decade plus. And listen, I know that Brendan Lewis, he declared for the NFL draft, by the way. Wish him the best of luck.
Yes, absolutely.
He was injured this year, but ultimately,
I
think he had a really good season for you. So I am counting him in the stretch of reliable quarterbacks that you had back there. I mean,
we
saw something at Memphis, especially with Seth Hennigan, that I don't know if you'll ever see again in college football. The stretch of quarterback play that they have had has been tremendous, and it is one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, they've had the success that they have had over the last decade plus. So it is vital that Charles Huff hits on his quarterback. Now, him being a former recruiter of the year and having FedEx money to throw around at these kids, I expect him to be able to bring in a quarterback that is able to carry this torch of tradition for the Memphis Tigers. I'm not too worried about it. I'm not too worried about Charles Huff and his recruiting in general with the resources he has. I do think he's going to be able to put together a pretty good team, and that's why like you said, the teams at the top of this conference right now are in a season of transition, and you have a lot of new head coaches. You're going to have a lot of new quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Try to take advantage of it as the program in your conference with probably the most resources. I know USF, they've invested a lot.
Definitely top two
but
in
you're
resources.
But you're at minimum top two. Yes. At minimum top two. I think that USF does have – they are having the same conversations that we are having right now.
Correct.
On USF sports radio somewhere, they are saying, you have an opportunity to take hold of this conference and make it to that championship game.
Yep.
But if Charles Huff can make it to that championship game in year one, it's a huge success. Again, if he doesn't make it and he's able to win 8, 9, 10 games,
it's still a really damn good season.
And it will be looked at as a success for Charles Huff. But if he can make it and get over that championship game hump for Memphis, we'll build a statue. I'm telling you. All right, Memphis basketball next. By the way, Memphis basketball has extended their lead a little bit. They're playing really well. They can just get these turnovers down. It has looked sloppy, but they are shooting the basketball well.
Second half has been a lot better for them. They're up now.
Yes, they've slowed it down with the turnovers.
52-36.
Yeah, I'll take that. But my resolution for Memphis basketball is land on a starting lineup, please. I think today was our 10th starting lineup.
Yeah, it was a new one.
10th. The 10th one. Now, when you look at the starting lineup, William Wharton, Ashton Hardaway, Tarik Ingram, Julius Thedford, Doug McDaniel.
Bro, Doug has already played 26 minutes.
I don't hate it. Well, we've had this conversation many times. If Doug McDaniel was your second or third best guy, oh, what a team you'd have. Him being your first best guy, I think, is difficult. But when you're in conference, in the American Conference, I think you can get away with it. And he's been really good today. He's had 9 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 5 assists. He only has 2 turnovers, but he has 2 steals. So he made up for it.
That lob to Wharton in the first half was nasty.
If y'all haven't seen it, go check out Memphis basketball Twitter. They've already got the highlight of it. Pretty sick.
That was really good.
Now,
throw.
I don't hate the starting lineup. I just need him to land on one. Despite getting the starts, Ingram's only played 9 minutes so far, and then Wharton has only played 8 minutes. Hassan Abdul-Hakim has been in the game a whole bunch with 20. Yep. Aaron Bradshaw got an extended run with 16. Zach Davis has 18 minutes, and Curtis Givens has 15 minutes. So, but if he decides to run with this starting lineup, fine. Just pick one. You need consistency, especially when you're in conference play. Very much like the Memphis Grizzlies, I do think that players need rhythm. They need to understand their role going into every single game. And the more consistency you can have, I think, will lead to more success for you. Now, I also understand that that part of this conversation is Penny is trying to find the right combination of guys. He put this team together a little bit late. It's not necessarily his fault. It's more of a symptom of the day and age of NIL. I think he did an okay job bringing in talent. Aaron Bradshaw, I still think, is a bit of a miss right now, but in conference play, maybe he can find something. So I'm not saying that it's some failure of Penny that he hasn't found a starting lineup yet. I'm just saying we are getting to the point where you've got to just set one. Even if you want to like set it and you're kind of trying to play with the minutes every once in a while, fine. But these guys have got to know if they're starting or coming off the bench game to game. There needs to be a little bit more consistency for these college players. I think it just will lead to more success for you.
My resolution, and this goes back to a point you made in the middle of talking about that level of consistency, and this goes back to the team building aspect of this, the roster building, I should say. Hire a general manager.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Hire a GM for the basketball program, just like the football program, especially in the American. In basketball, you are the most well-resourced.
It's not even close. It's not even close.
And it's not close.
No.
At all. We're talking by a magnitude of times, of multiples. You are the highest funded program in your conference. How come we don't have somebody kind of just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.